Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the WPTF Weekend Gardener. Mike Raley here. Let me check. Yep, pretty much all here.
You look like you're here.
Everybody say that's Paul McKenzie, a retired extension agent from Granville, not Granville, but Warren and
Vance
County. Yep. And you were in Durham County at one time.
He
plays else.
Harnett.
Yep. I had forgotten that.
Yeah.
And, of course, Brother Rufus over there, former Secretary of State and Attorney General, North Carolina, lost by a hair in the 84 governor's race, and former Deputy Chief Counsel on the Senate Watergate Committee.
Why didn't they count my vote?
I don't know. And we're welcoming Chad Tyson, who is a horticulturist, but he also represents MitaGrow. And it's a biostimulant. I think that's what I need this morning. How much of a dose should I take, Chad? And welcome to
Good morning. Thanks for having me here. And I think I'll just sprinkle a little in the top of your head.
Will my hair grow?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. My hair's gotten thinner over the years. I'm thankful to have some. So we're here this morning. And I don't know what kind Rufus has had.
I've had croup, but now we're
distemper. This morning. You're feeling better, though, aren't
much,
you?
Much better.
And you get something about this time every year.
Well, so. You see, I can't take a flu shot because of having had the dreaded disease of Guillain-Barré syndrome.
That's right.
You ever heard of such a thing, Chad?
I have not.
Andy Griffith had it, too.
Yeah. It throws you out of whack for...
Paralyzes you, literally.
About 3 months in my case.
Yeah. So
all my opponents were clapping... Right on.
No.
Keep
him
down.
You were out of office by then. They weren't mad at you at that point, were they?
Oh, a little afterburn.
Yeah, well, it's their problem. So it's strange weather this morning. I said, it feels like tornado weather. I hate to say that. I'm sure it's not because I don't know that we're going to get anything. It's just kind of foggy and overcast. Now, Chad, you came down from Winston-Salem this morning. God bless you, man. That's quite a drive. But you said it was raining there.
Yeah, yep.
Because that's that front is kind of, it's moving this way, but I don't know how much rain we're going to end up getting out of it. We really need some. It is so dry in North Carolina right now, and it just continues. And we didn't get a lot during hurricane season. That's usually something that overdoses or replenishes, as it were. But then during the winter, we quite often get right much rain, and we haven't gotten it.
People think just because it gets cold that plants don't need water.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I watered yesterday.
Definitely, yeah. And, if it gets real cold and real windy, then that starts a process called desiccation, and it just freeze-dries the plants. And we haven't had anything like that for a while, but it certainly does bother us. And the drought monitor report comes out every Thursday, and it was not good. I mean, to the west of us is a pretty severe drought. Mm. So, and Wake County's not almost end that, but we are in a drought condition here. So Chad, with the MitoGrow Corporation, I am fascinated by this, and it's going to help a lot of people. And I mentioned biostimulant. That's patented.
That's correct. Yeah. We are a combination of biology and chemistry. So we're really the first in this category to do it really well, not be hit and miss, be very accurate. And the goal is to make gardeners more confident and successful.
Yeah, and that's a nice feeling when you're out there, because we all, as gardeners, take chances. You can't really tell us what's in it, I suppose. I don't know.
Sure, I can.
Oh, you can?
I can tell you all
okay.
about
there
it.
There are no secrets?
No secrets.
Oh, wow. How about that?
Yeah.
Nice. Tell us what's in it.
Sure. So we are a combination, like I said, of biology and chemistry. The biology in it is mycorrhizae. I know that's a big buzzword for a lot of gardeners. What we do really well is we call it the shotgun approach. So the shotgun approach is that we have 18 different strains of endo and ectomycorrhizae, which really, in theory, just covers the gamut of all different plant species, because inevitably different plant species are going to associate with different strains of mycorrhizae. In addition to that, we have a beneficial bacteria. We have three types of B vitamins, sea kelp, and also IBA, which is the chemistry.
Now, why don't you give it a try at spelling what you just said, that word?
Wait a minute. You went to law school. Didn't they have any of that in law school?
All I know is Winnie Wadey Wiki.
Good Latin. Okay. Well, I don't know. We've got samples here, and so we can bust those open, not literally. And it looks like soil or a soil additive.
It's a fine white powder.
Yeah.
Yep. That's exactly right.
And it, so many people, especially this time of year, you see kind of what's working and what's not during the winter, and or what has during the season, during the growing season, what has worked.
And you know, this is all, you know, kind of an emerging science, I think.
It is.
Back when I went to school, you know, I graduated from agronomy at NC State, which is study of field crops and agriculture.
Just like Representative Howard Penny, by the way.
Okay.
I need to introduce you to him.
Yeah. But I graduated in 1991, and we didn't learn about this stuff. I mean, this is all science that's developed since then, and I think we're just kind of at the cusp of understanding all of these relationships in the soil, and there's just so much diversity in the soil, and it's neat to see where this is going and how it's going to help gardeners.
Yeah, and it can help young plants get a good start, and it can help old plants like me. Or Rufus, sir.
Oh, yeah.
I guess I'm in that category now, too. Huh?
kind of help us out, extend our life, or extend the plant's life.
That's exactly right. We try to say that we are both the proactive and reactive approach.
It's kind of like we take probiotics. It's kind of like a probiotic, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
It's very similar to how a person processes food. So you can eat all the right things, but if your system doesn't process it, where you get the energy and micronutrients and everything from it, it doesn't do that well. So we're just trying to increase the efficiency of a plant's health so it can perform as it would in nature.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sitting here thinking about trying to reproduce daphnes, Paul. I want to put them in a pot, mm-hmm. and it says right here the pots and planters for indoor plants. Well, I think this would work on my daphnes. They're hard to... They're hard to reproduce.
The winter daphnes are. And they tease us. The buds form, and they're so slow to open. You just never know when they're going to open.
It looks like sometime this might around, help.
Yeah, you think it would make them open faster?
Well, I think so. I think it might help them root better.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, because if you think about it, when you're dealing with a potting media for propagating plants, that's a pretty sterile item that you're using that that growing mix that you're using, it's been sterilized.
You're exactly right.
And so getting some biology back into it, that seems like a pretty good strategy. Do you guys have you guys done like trials or anything on?
Oh yeah,
I'm sure.
Got
a lot of trials. I think you told me that a professor had been working on this for a long time, and your boss discovered him.
That's correct. So he actually was not from this industry at all. My boss and the owner of MitoGrow, he
just a smart man.
Had a little extra time on his hands at a certain point in his life. He built a new home, had some 200-year-old live oak trees, and all the construction damaged the trees, and had several consulting arborists come out and say, I think the next date with those trees is with a chainsaw rather than us helping them out. And one day he had a pamphlet show up on his front door. He said, I didn't really understand much about it, but he thought, what the heck? I can't replace 200-year-old oak trees, so we'll try it. So he had a PhD microbiology professor come out and say, hey, I've been working on something new. I think I can help your trees. So he said within 6 months, these huge live oak trees had already started to flush back out, come back to health, and they're still there today. And he said, you know, I think that I can make this into something that's helpful for a lot more people than just myself or around the greater Houston area, which is where he lives. So the guy was in his 80s, and he ended up buying the intellectual property, hiring a team of scientists to make it a sellable product, and here we are today. So we started out in commercial applications, and now we're getting into the home and garden market
because
we can help so many of those people
as well. Yeah, you sure can. So how is it how was it used for those trees? Did he put some of this mixture in water and then apply it? Or
So he mixed it into tanks, and then what they did was apply it through injections. So it has a pump that pumps it at a certain pressure. They go usually 10 to 12 inches into the ground on a grid of usually 3 foot by 3 foot around the drip line of the tree and inject that into the ground. And that's just to make sure that it has contact with the root system.
Which is very important, Paul, to, you know, roots are what it's all about.
Yeah, yeah. If you look at a tree, I mean, you're only seeing, you know, half of it at best, because the root system is, you know, perhaps the most important component of that tree. And so I've always said, take care of the roots, and that's that's the key to having successful plants.
Well, I'm looking here. You've got three kinds in this little kit. Bloom and bed, maybe that's the one I should use for the Daphnes. Pots and planters, and then tree and shrubs. And what you're doing is you're taking a tablespoon to each gallon of water, and each of these will do 50 gallons. The trees will do 25 gallons. So you've got a plenty here.
That's a lot. Yeah, it's absolutely a lot.
And it's got the good container where you can zip it back closed. So it looks to me like I can't wait to try this.
Yeah. It's a small bag, but it goes a long way. Most of the times, biostimulant products or anything that's adjacent usually comes in a liquid. And part of our patent is that we're in a dry powder formulation because it's stable. And when that's added to water, it has the food source and all of those biologicals come back to life.
And you can store it easily.
Yeah. But really, I think maybe some of the bad taste that's been left in people's mouths over the years that products that are adjacent to this is that they're just very hit and miss. They sometimes perform, sometimes they don't. But what we're doing really well is making sure that whenever it's mixed with water, it becomes active. It has a really high colony-forming unit count. And what all that means is available biology that's living and reproducing. So whenever you mix it in water, as you would at your home, you can know that you're having a really good chance of introducing a lot of these biologicals effectively to your plants.
You are a horticulturist.
That's correct.
So we got an agronomist, horticulturist, a lawyer, and a dumb disc jockey here. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk more about MitoGrow and take your calls and talk more about plants and Rufus's croup this morning coming up on The Weekend Gardener. Well, we're back on WPTF for the Weekend Gardener at 8:24. We don't have much time before news, but Paul McKenzie's with us. Brother Rufus is here. And Chad Tyson, who is with MitaGrow, and a horticulturist. And so you went to NC State and Duke?
That's correct.
I don't know about that combination. I've heard UNC and State.
Well, I grew up a Duke fan, so I can't say
they didn't
that
have horticulture. Whoa, I don't know about that. You know, we are the Tar Heel Network voice here, and for decades we were the NC State flagship station. So I don't know.
But Chad, they say that. I am the only Carolina person around here ever, and I feel surrounded.
No, Big Daddy, Mr. Curtis, and the president of the company.
Yeah, and
Gerald Adams, who will be on next week,
but
by the way.
But invariably, I will be the only Carolina grad amongst these NC State individuals. And they're a pretty decent lot.
Yeah. All right. We haven't heard from Steve. I think it was before Christmas that we heard from Steve over in Garner. Steve, good morning.
Good morning. It's been a busy couple of weeks.
Yeah, I bet it has. Did you go to Texas?
No.
Where did you go? You went somewhere.
She went to Maryland to visit her in-laws.
Are you talking about your wife?
No, my daughter.
Oh, okay. Well, you said she. Yeah, I didn't. Okay.
But my wife's been getting used to her chemo drugs, so it's been a busy couple of weeks.
So you've been cleaning up in the garden at all?
A couple of weeks ago, I said that something about digging up a red-hot poker to make room for some daylilies. And
I've needed one of those so often, a red-hot poker.
I got it up. That's one of the projects I did.
Yeah.
So I've got some clumps of some decent clumps of red-hot poker. That if anybody wants some, they're free. They can come and get them. And my address is on the Daylily website.
Just one more.
Go to Raleigh Daylily Club in your search engine. And on the bottom of the website, there is a tab that says Other. And there are, if you do that, there's a tab called Daylily Display Gardens, and mine is called Just One More, and it's got my phone number and address, and if you just let me know you're coming, you can have as many of these clumps as you want.
Red hot pokers. So how are your, what have you been doing to your daylily patch there?
Just trying to get the weeds out.
Yeah, bad year for weeds for
it's
you?
Just, you know, one of those things that you do what you can when you can.
Yeah.
But like I said, we've been busy, so it's been kind of a touch and go.
Yeah, I understand. Well, you know, life is really interesting during the Christmas season. It's such a joyous time, but it is such a burnout time for a lot of people. We have to recoup.
We made it through it, and she's getting used to her. The chemo's makes her stomach kind of upset.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
She's been trying to get adjusted to that.
Well, our prayers to her.
And we're still here. We love you guys.
Well, we love you folks too. I appreciate you calling this morning,
all
Steve.
Right, thanks for letting me talk.
All right, take care. Yeah, now Steve is a daylily expert, and he has hundreds of daylilies in his landscape and among other plants. But Rufus, you're going through that stuff like a scientist over there. You're really engaged.
Absolutely.
In it.
Well, I've discovered there's a wonderful T-shirt here too.
I'm sure you would look smashing in that, Rufus.
Plant lovers. Not dead yet. Not dead yet. Social
club. It's a great slogan. Yeah. So we're going to take a look at the news coming up. and we'll be back with more here on the WPTF Weekend Gardener. Now in our 41st or 81st year, if you will, with the Tar Heel Gardener or the Weekend Gardener. Yeah, not a bad
good
run
stuff,
so far,
good
huh?
Stuff. Yeah.
It's 8:35 WPTF time. Mike Rayleigh here with the Weekend Gardener. And you're welcome to call us 919-860-9783 or just lie there in the bed and relax and listen if you want to. Or you could go, I mean, it's, I don't know, it's fairly warm outside. You could go outside if you wanted to. I'm sure, General, you went outside this morning and...
Well, I did. I did the show outside last Saturday.
Oh, well, you were outside?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that was good.
I was a little sickly and did it. Oh, by the way, are you ready for the Cliff Joiner?
Yeah, might as well.
We're not going to attribute this to Cliff today.
Okay.
It's sort of a downer. It says, you are in danger of living a life so comfortable and soft that you will die. Without ever realizing your true potential.
Well, that's true. That's true. If you have everything given to you and you don't have to work hard or anything.
I don't think Cliff would say it that way.
No, I don't think he would. He'd be a lot nicer.
So comfortable and soft that you will die.
Well, why don't you skip to the next day and read what Cliff has to say?
Well, okay. Do not mind anything that anyone tells you about anyone else. Judge everyone and everything for yourself.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Now we're going.
That's a nice
one. Now,
who actually said that?
Well, that was a man named Henry James.
Oh, okay. I've heard of him.
He was a great author. And
Cliff
that's Martin
didn't say
Luther
that.
King. That's his birthday that it's on.
Yeah.
January 19, next Monday. So we made up for that downer. Of course, I guess there's something to the downer, that if you want to lay there like a dead hog, You'll remain one.
Well, very true. Very poetic, Rufus. So what have you seen in your landscape this morning? I have the best crop of flowers on my winter suite. Are you familiar with the winter suite?
I am.
I have one, and I have had it for maybe 30 years, I think. And it's grown very slowly, but it's really big now. And it has the ones that I've seen rarely, but occasionally in nurseries, has relatively small flowers, yellow flowers. But this one has, you know, larger flowers, still not too big. And the fragrance is all over my landscape. And if you're walking by, I live on a corner, so if you're walking by on the sidewalk, you're going to stop and try to figure out. Of course, you can see the yellow. I mean, it's just covered with yellow blooms. I should have brought some of those blooms in this morning. I did earlier in the season, but they last for a long time if we don't have a killing, hard freeze.
Well, I've got what you've been talking about and missing. Prunus mumae.
Yeah.
Beautiful blooms.
I do love those. And I'm not seeing as many around. You know, they really don't always, now you're an exception. They don't always live long because they're a little picky about where they're planted. But you must have it in a really good spot because you still have one that's 20 years old or so.
I'm sort of a little hill because I understand the roots don't like to get too wet.
Yeah.
And it's just blooming.
So
like
good drainage for them. But there are varieties that have kind of a spicy fragrance, kind of a cinnamony. I don't know how to describe it. I'm sure there are other spices in there, but and it's not overwhelming, like a fragrant osmanthus or something. But it's pretty nice. But there are some. I think you may think you're seeing one of the fall or winter flowering cherry trees, but they're actually the Prunus mumae. And there's some out. Let's see, just not far from Blue Ridge Road. Edwards Mill is kind of the Edwards Mill extension. And out toward the, it's a kind of a small hospital out there, emergency room for orthopedics, Raleigh Orthopedics, I guess, their building. I think they're Prunus Mumate there. But I don't see them quite as much as I used to, but it's a valuable landscape plant.
Yeah, everybody needs something that's going to bloom in the winter. And
yeah, we should have something that, blooming year-round.
Yeah, bring that splash of color to that landscape this time of year.
There's several at NC State's campus, and I haven't been by recently, but I know that at least there were some around the Brickyard.
Oh, okay. Well, I haven't traversed the Brickyard recently, and a long time, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. You know, the last time I was on the Brickyard was in 1983, and my colleague Tony Rigsby and I were covering the campus reaction to the national championship, and all H broke loose out there, and we were there beside the old Union, Erdal Cloyd Union, and there was a parking lot on this hill, on this knoll. And we were overlooking the Brickyard, and we kept seeing students pile onto. I mean, it ended up, you know, thousands of students. But we started seeing them filtering on there, bringing stuff, and dropping it there. And they had a huge bonfire.
Oh, gosh.
And they even pushed a Ford Pinto onto the Brickyard.
Oh, no.
And we were lucky to get out of there in one piece. So we left and guided a WBT satellite truck out of there too, because Tony and I knew how to get. We're students there, and we knew how to get out. But that was the last time I went to the Brickyard. I need to go over there because it's the Harrelson Hall is not there.
Right.
So
right.
I need to see what they've done. I'm ashamed I haven't been over there.
NC State's got a nice campus.
It's a beautiful campus.
Yeah.
Really I've been does. To Reynolds and of course, the Centennial Campus and places like that, but it's you know, certainly not to the Brickyard. That's kind of the
maybe I could go over there and make a talk with nobody there.
Well, I mean, that's up to you. You do like to talk, and that kind of helps in your business, former business, or your current business as a lawyer. 919-860-9783. So you didn't really get past the Prunus Mumae as to what was blooming there. I'm sure you have other things.
Yes, the Daphnes are budding up real well. What's the other one that looks like it has a Daphne branch? Looks like it's the same stem. You folks know it.
It's a Daphne?
No, it's a plant that has characteristics of the Daphne.
Oh, okay. It's
Edgeworthia.
Edgeworthia. Yeah. They haven't completely opened yet.
Yeah.
Mine haven't. Have yours?
Just about. I'm talking about a week.
Okay, and that's when you can. And they're another plant that has fragrance. And these plants that open in winter, Chad. I guess you get the. You get more fragrance out of them because they're trying to attract pollinators.
Absolutely.
In a time when there probably aren't a lot of pollinators around.
Right.
Now, Chad, I'm thinking if you've got a plant that seems to be ailing, and you picked your category here, pots and plants or bloom in bed or trees, mix up your formula and spread it around to the outer limits of where the drip line would be.
That's correct. So what we suggest doing is just drenching it, you know, like within the drip line around the root ball, just as you would water it normally. You can never overdo it with our product, so it's kind of dummy proof is what we call it.
Formidagrow.
Yeah. So the goal is to make as much contact with the surface area of the roots as possible, because that's where we do the work is right around the roots.
So good drenching, that's a good way to put it.
That's correct.
So it also cuts down on stress for a plant. I mean, this does everything. It helps revive plants. It helps get them off to a good start. It helps feed plants. Does it actually feed, or does it help the the plant take up nutrients?
That's a great question. So what we like to say is we're not a fertilizer at all. Nothing in our product contains any NPK and micronutrients.
So it's nothing to hurt.
Nothing to hurt. There's no salt in it from like fertilizers. You can't burn it. What we do is we work alongside with the plant on a biological level to make it more efficient at taking up water and nutrients. So a lot of the time, especially around here, clay soils tend to hem up nutrients because it's compacted and it's hard for plants to extract it out of the soil. So a lot of those biologicals, whether it be the beneficial bacteria or mycorrhizae, have an ability to increase the surface area of that root system by even 200 and 300%. So it's a more of a filter to be able to pull those nutrients out of the soil. And each individual mycorrhizae strain has a different mode of action. So some may be good at pulling up phosphorus. Some may be good at pulling up nitrogen or fixating it or changing it into a plant-available state. I could go on and on. It's just an unknown world in the soil of the microbiome. So,
just like our microbiome.
Absolutely.
That's gotten so much attention over the years.
Yeah, and just to kind of cover the basics, you know, correct me, Chad, but mycorrhizae, it's a fungus that forms an association with the roots that helps the plant take up nutrients.
That's correct.
In its simplest, kind of simplest terms.
You hear
that's
that,
what
Mike?
It does.
I hear that.
Us two boys, I heard that, yeah.
I heard it. I don't.
And like I said, you know, when I was studying agronomy in the late 80s, you know, this was not a thing that we knew about. We knew about the 17 plant nutrients. And so this is all, you know, kind of emerging knowledge that's come about, I don't know, in the last 20 years or something, about these relationships that roots have. And, you know, there's so much diversity in that soil that plays roles that we don't fully understand.
That's right. Chad, could I possibly say that many times people put too much nitrogen, and the greenery grows like crazy.
We overwater and we overfeed.
So you're not running the risk of too much nitrogen with this, right?
That's correct. We actually, if we're increasing the efficiency, inevitably you could use less. And we push for that because fertilizer is salty. It actually has a negative effect over time on the biome of the soil. Another good point for gardeners, just to go off your point, is most times people who go into, whether their home's in a new development, the soil has some way been disturbed. So typically...
Destroyed.
Destroyed.
Yeah.
So typically what's unfortunate for us is that the really beneficial things tend to die first when soil is disturbed, and all of the negative things are the strongest. So what we do is we come in and say, here's a deluge of all of the beneficials to your soil to re-inoculate it to make sure that they are established and can work in that symbiotic relationship with the plant over a long period of time.
Let's head to Cumberland County and talk to Bill. Bill, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. I haven't had a chance to. I've been busy and so forth. I can't believe somebody would go to State and Duke. That just seems.
I've never heard that. Now, the great Bones McKinney played basketball at State and Carolina, and then coached at Wake Forest. But Duke was not in the mix. And Bill Friday went to NC State and to Carolina and to Wake Forest for education. He went to law school at Carolina. But right, Duke was not in that mix.
The late Governor Hunt went to NC State and then Carolina.
In Carolina, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a great combination educationally.
I'll get on to agronomy, and I do have a degree in agronomy, but my youngest granddaughter had open-heart surgery at Duke when she was 3 weeks old.
Yeah.
I had a stroke this year, and I spent 52 hours up there being probed and poked and tested. I don't hate Duke as bad. I still don't like Krzyzewski.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hey, Bill, he's a gardener. He's a really, I'm told, a really good gardener. So maybe that will help you like him more.
We'll give him a buy on that. Duke always seems to get a buy. So anyway, I bought a bunch of canna lilies, ordered them from a reputable company, planted them around the house. Yep. And I have a legroom soil. And anyway, I ordered 3 dozen, and I've got 9 left. Some of them never came up, and the ones that did, 3 or 4 of them died, so I ended up with 9 that made it. I planted hydrangeas in the same general area. I watered everything the same, and the hydrangeas thrive. So tell me what I did right or wrong, and I think I'm going to go with more hydrangeas.
Well,
I think you had 3 bad cannas out of the bunch.
Yeah. I mean, that's a bulb.
Yeah. Well, I ordered 3 dozen, and I had 9 that made it.
When did you plant them?
Last year in about the 1st of March.
And I wonder if you overwatered them.
Well, it said to keep it moist, and I didn't water them daily. When I water something, I do it a couple. If you know what a wade room is like, and if you're an agronomist, you do.
Vaguely.
You can pour a 5-gallon bucket of water out, and it won't even make a puddle. It'll run in the ground.
Right.
And you have sandy soil there in Cumberland, don't you?
Extreme sandy, yeah. Where I live.
All right.
In fact, of the 5 soil types on my farm, 29 acres, 2 of them, one is wade room and one is Candor, and they have almost no profile. The color changes a little bit, but you've got the same texture. You can dig a grave, and it won't even be a different texture at the bottom than it was at the surface.
Uh-huh. I'm trying to think of an insect or a disease problem that, you know, would have infected the cannas so quickly after being planted, and I'm drawing a blank, which doesn't mean there's not one. It's just I can't think of one. Voles did come to mind. Have you noticed any vole activity?
I have them in other parts of the yard, but not right up by the plantings.
Because they do like bulbs.
Yes.
And as far as mycorrhizal web and the soil food web, when I first started at NC State in 1972, we didn't have a clue about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I had a little too much fun on Hillsborough Street. So they gave me one of them don't come back sun slips pretty quick.
Oh.
And I returned in 2002 and got my degree in 2005 in agronomy soil science. And all the rage when I went back to school 20 years ago was soil microbiology, how
nice.
We can make that biology work and shift from a bacteriological viral environment to a fungal environment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the big thing, and it's so new. I keep my subscription to the Soil Science Journal up and read those things just because it was so brand new when I went to school the second time.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I must tell you a funny on myself. Some of the kids I went to school with were the age of my own children, and one of them said, "Well, they didn't have as many elements as back when you went to school the first time." I said, "Well, that's true. It was a little, you know, they've synthesized 20-some elements in the last 40 years. But it was a little more than just earth, wind, water, and fire." You know?
Yeah. Well, Chad, can you think of anything that would, I mean, usually when a plant, you know, dies shortly after installation, I'm going to look at, how was it installed and how was it cared for? You know, was there good soil preparation? Was there appropriate, you know, fertility? Was there a good mulch layer? I mean, those are the things I'm typically going to explore. Now, you with an agronomy degree, I would assume you've got all that down pat. And I'm just drawing a blank.
The only thing I could think of, and this is the people I ordered the bulbs from, said plant them according to my zone at 6 inches. And so you planted them too deep. Well, no, that's exactly what my zone calls for, at 6 inches of depth. I may have planted them a little deep, but it was in a well. I mixed in a wheelbarrow load of cow manure in 30 feet and tilled that in. And then I had plenty of peat moss and plenty of
Chad, you got any theories, Chad?
So there's 2 things that came to mind. One was the depth. Typically, cannas, kind of similar to irises, like to be pretty near the surface. They like to have that oxygen exchange to make sure that those tubers don't end up rotting. They like water, but they like for it to pass over it and then to dry out. So that tuberous state is what holds the water kind of acts as a sponge, but if it has surrounding water for a long period of time, it'll rot.
That sounds plausible.
The other thing that comes to mind is with tuberous plants, they don't have fine roots at the very beginning. So right. Something that helps that is, not to be a plug for MitoGrow, but we support with IBA to make sure that those fine roots actually happen, because those callus roots that are right around the tuber aren't good at efficiently taking up water and nutrients. So all those fine right. roots that then feed out and grow after planting is what helps sustain it over a long period of time. So the faster you can make that happen, the faster it gets established and is likely to be successful.
Probably what you're saying, I should have planted them at 4 inches, kept them watered just enough, and then mulched them heavy for the winter.
That's right.
Yeah, the only other thing I would have thought about was getting a soil test.
Oh, I've got that down pat. I'm one of those rare farmers. I test every other year.
Oh, good for you.
And I've got everything lined up to my pastures. I even cleared a new ground and took 4 semi-loads of lime to get that new ground right in that Norfolk soil and the Goldsboro soil. But I can grow grass like crazy.
Yeah. Well, Bill, I am so glad you are back to health and safe, and hope your daughter's okay.
My granddaughter.
Granddaughter, yeah. Hope she's great.
She'll be 13 in a few weeks, or no, she'll be 14 in a few weeks.
Great.
And
well, happy birthday to her.
Well, Bill, you mentioned some of your wayward ways that on the streets of Hillsborough. I bet you know about Mitch's Tavern.
Oh. Well, I told the young folks that I went back to school with that when I was at State, from Oberlin Road with the PR around the corner,
yeah,
all the way to
still
the tractor sign, there were 39 bars. And they said, one of them asked me, did you go to all of them? I said, well, not one night.
Not in one night, yeah. God bless you, Bill. Please call us again soon.
You bet. Will do.
Thank you. Bye. Learned man.
Indeed,
I like that.
Yeah.
All right, more of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF. All right, we're going to work on this 2 minutes here and see what we can do with it. I learned a lot during that conversation just about canna lilies, and I never realized how picky canna lilies are. They're another plant, a bulb, and I guess most bulbs don't like wet feet either.
Not for a long period of time.
Yeah. No. And we were talking about off the air about the depth of planting bulbs. You know, you can overdo that. And Rufus, you talked about iris, which, as Chad said, doesn't really need to be planted at all, hardly. It just kind of secure it on the top of the ground. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's one of the things. But in overwatering, we tend to overwater, but we as gardeners experiment a lot too, and you know, sometimes we're successful and sometimes we're not. I think Tony Avon has said many times that you know, all gardeners kill things accidentally, don't mean to.
Well, planting too deep is just such a common issue in the landscape.
Yeah, you know, for trees, everything.
Shrubs, bulbs, even, you know, herbaceous plants. So.
Yeah.
I have a rule, Paul. A rule, let half an inch to an inch of anything I plant be above the soil level.
Okay. We'll end on that. We've already done an hour. I can't believe it. We'll be back and talk more about... your plants and our plants.